I'm at the Meaning Conference in Brighton with Stowe Boyd. Stowe, you kicked off the conference this morning, and we're talking about social business. Now, that over in the UK, you know, lots of people talk about social business, but what actually is social business in terms of how you would define it, and where is it going, and what does it mean for how business is done?
Well, you know, here in the UK, there's a distinct, or I should say Europe, the rest of the world has a very different meaning of the word social business than the US does. In most places, it's based on the thinking of people like Eunice, you know, started Grameen Bank, which is a socially conscious enterprise that its purpose for existing is to create some good for some defined community of people. But in the United States, it has a different meaning, and that's really the meaning I was using it in today, which is the adoption of social networking tools and technologies inside of an enterprise with the intention of applying those to have a closer connection to the community of users. Mm-hmm. So there's a communitarian flavor in both, mm-hmm. but in the States it's not so much that you're doing social good, it's that you're using social technologies to do whatever it is that the business is doing.
Okay. So what you were talking about in terms of what a social business will end up being will be something quite different to business of today.
Well, my talk was specifically called Beyond Social, and I was saying that the idea of a social business of the sort I was talking about, the company using social tools to communicate with its marketplace and so on, has had an interesting impact on the way business is being conducted, but I don't think it's enough for the challenges that confront us today. I characterized it as being part of the postmodern era, which is, like, you know, 1970s through, let's say, 2005, mm-hmm. and that in the recent past we've moved into what I'm characterizing as the post-normal era. And those, the challenges we have now are distinctly different than the ones of the previous era. Mm-hmm. And social business tools are inadequate for what we're trying to do today. And they really represent an advance that helped companies accommodate what was happening with the rise of the internet. But what we're confronted with now is more than that. And so my thesis is that we have to create a new set of technologies to deal with the post-normal era. And before we do that, we shouldn't start by just saying, let's build a new tool. We should start by saying, what do we believe in? What do we think is more important or less important? What do we value? And we have to decide that, and based on those decisions, then we'll be able to envision better businesses and ultimately build tools that will help those businesses. But the first thing for us to do is to say, these things matter more than other things, and we should build our systems, including our businesses, around those.
So what, do you see any types of business that are actually doing this stuff already, the kind of stuff that you're envisaging?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and we've heard talks from people that have been doing, you know, great things in various companies and organizations here at the conference today. Principally, it's coming out of people that have been interested in having more democratic organizations. More democratic organizations and more democratic institutions, including more democratic politics, you know, more direct kind of political systems. So there's been a lot of work in that area for, you know, decades. Yeah. Nixon McInnis is one of the companies that has been, you know, very consistently, you know, over the last 6 years, recognized by World Blue as one of the most democratic organizations in the world. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of people like that. Not just they have been selected for that list. You know, there's hundreds of companies that are attempting to, you know, become more democratic, more open, more transparent, more oriented towards sharing the benefits of the company with the people that work there, people that are committed to making the world of work a happier place, who are putting the well-being of humanity ahead of other issues. So I think there's, you know, literally thousands of examples. And of course, you know, there's all sorts of levels or degrees that companies have accommodated that, and widely variable, you know, geographically. I mean, most of the companies we might talk about would be Western Europe or North America, but it's the sort of thing that's happening everywhere to some extent.
And what's your analysis of the kind of social tools that organizations are just adopting now? You know, I think you had some work, we're talking about Yammer was mentioned earlier. Now that's a big thing right now. But it seems to me that you were also talking about the fact that we need a whole set of new tools, but it seems like we're only just catching up with using some of the tools that have been around, you know, for a few years right now.
Well, the use of those tools has grown amazingly fast. So, you know, Yammer was just acquired for $1.3 billion. And there's been acquisitions of four or five other companies who are competitors. So those have now become mainstream branches or divisions, if you will, of major software companies, Microsoft, Citrix, VMware, Salesforce.com. I mean, all the major enterprise software companies, IBM, for example, they all have offerings in that space, and they're all competing with each other for a $50 billion now a year business, and projected to be worth considerably more than that in the future. So that's very much a mainstream thing. I mean, modern business is adopting those technologies. I shouldn't say modern business. Today's business is adopting those technologies very quickly. It's just that the nature of how the world works is the thinking behind those tools and the way that they're, the reasoning that drives their adoption is really based on model of the business that's a few years out of date. So let's say 5 years behind. And they make sense in that world, but the actual way that work is proceeding today is actually different than the concept that people have in their heads. It's moved ahead farther than the image that we carry in our mind of the typical business. So when I make the case that I think we need a new set of tools, it doesn't mean that all the principles of today's social tools will be thrown out the window. Yeah. It's just that there's a tremendous amount of what's going on in the world of business today that doesn't show up, isn't directly supported by those tools yet. Yeah. And I think they will be in the future. And we can anticipate that to be happening now. I mean, I'm bumping into new and interesting companies all the time. I don't know offhand of a company I can point at and say that's a company that is going to represent this new breakthrough. But I wouldn't be surprised to bump into one, say, a month and a half from now and say, oh, this company has a new take on that space that represents a step forward.
So there's one final question. I'm quite interested in that. It's a big market for those kind of social tools in organizations.
Yep.
But at the same time, you were talking about a kind of dispersal of people and skills outside of those centralized units.
And that's exactly the kinds of capabilities that aren't really well built into those tools today.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that the rise of freelancing and temporary workers and distributed workforces and outsourcing, it really isn't well supported in those tools. That's one of the examples of how the tools today are really matched to a model of business that's years ago. It could, in some cases, it could be from businesses from 1970s kind of model. But today in the United States anyway, it's over 40% of professional and creative work is accomplished by freelancers. And these tools aren't particularly oriented towards figuring out how to support those people in a sensible way, or a way that's sensible for them.
Yeah.
And also, they don't deal with the fact, I made this point in my talk today, they don't deal with the fact that there are a bunch of different tools out there that are completely non-interoperable. So if you were using Yammer, and I was using, let's say, Salesforce.com's tools, and somebody, some third guy that we want to bring into a project is using yet another tool, there's no way we could collaborate unless we all decided to use your tool, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's very much a sort of broken, siloed model, right? You have all this information being put in separate silos and it can't be shared well. That's kind of, as I said in my talk, that's kind of the way that the email business worked before we had standards and everybody had their own corporate email system that didn't work with other people's corporate email systems, which is, when you think about it, it's almost laughable now. But we don't have that yet in this, what I call work media space, that is these social tools for the enterprise. They don't have any interoperability, which is, when you think about it, it's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is one of the sorts of breakthroughs that we can anticipate happening. Another one is having the ability to, the thing that has to come along with that is you're using your tool, I'm using my tool, and we're sending information back and forth without even being aware of the fact that you're using a different tool than
me.
And so there's a whole host of issues involved with that. And there's two or three other major issues of that sort that I anticipate becoming a competitive advantage for newcomers in that space.
Okay. And what kind of things would they be?
Well, for example, the way these tools are built now, because they are very inward focused the way businesses are, for example, if you were using a tool, let's say Yammer or one of the others, there's no way for you to use that tool to post information that is made public to people that aren't Yammer users.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, for example, there's no way for me to follow you in a public way and keep track of what your company is posting. You have to use a completely different tool for that. You use like a blog or Twitter or something. But why is that? Why shouldn't you be able to post to the public side of your future Yammer account or future account from somebody else's product saying, we're trying to hire somebody for this job, or we're looking for people with this skill set to collaborate with us on a project. And then I could say, okay, I would like to collaborate. Let me respond to you in a sensible way. And then that response would find its way into some workflow that'd be managed by Yammer on the inside. But none of these tools provide that. When you think about it, they're all inward focused. You can invite people in, but you can't share outward. And that's just crazy because, I mean, one of the things we've learned from the experience on the open social web with tools like Facebook and Twitter and so on is the power of the open follower model. I'm posting information that I make public to people. People choose to follow me. I build a reputation. I can post things and I'm relatively sure that people will look at it. I can ask questions and people will respond. It's an incredibly powerful tool. We know, right? We've seen things like how it's being used by popular media, the rise of the Arab Spring, you know, popular movements like that. But the way that the current generation of technology is being designed for corporations to manage their sort of social interaction internally doesn't take advantage of any of that. And that's, when you think about it, sort of silly, which is why one of the reasons I say it seems to be heavily biased towards a model of business that is over 5 years old. Because after all, Twitter, Facebook, the real growth of those tools has really only been in the last 5 years.
Yeah. And is there anything that excites you in that work media space in terms of tools right now that you think are doing some of the things that you're saying?
Well, there's a lot of innovation in that space, even though they're not innovating in the ways I was talking about. So there is still a lot of interesting stuff going on. One thing we're seeing a lot of is people taking the Dropbox kind of sharing model, either integrating directly with Dropbox or its competitors like Box, or a company like Citrix, for example, just recently acquired Podio, but they also built their own acquired their own product, which they're now calling Shared Folder, which is basically a Dropbox for the enterprise kind of model. And those are being integrated together along with other things that Citrix has. And you're seeing the same things, you know, other companies will do the same thing. So other examples of really innovative, smart ideas that have found its way from the, if you will, the consumer space, the individual product market, finding their way into the enterprise tools, that's very cool. That's very, very exciting. And I expect we'll see more of that kind of innovation in the future.
Stowe Boyd, thanks very much.
You're welcome. It's nice to be here.